Up next on our prediction moment, Anthony Carr joins us. He is the world's most documented psychic, and we'll be talking about some of the predictions he has made in the past and what he sees in the future on Coast to Coast AM. And of course, this being our anniversary, let's check in with a few people who have made Coast to Coast what it is now. Here's Karen Dahlman, Miss Ouija Board. Hi, Karen. Happy New Year.
Hey, George. Happy New Year to you. And congratulations on a wonderful 14 years of successful programming.
What a fun run it's been for us, Karen.
Oh, it's been an exciting run. You know, be a part of the show, for the listeners, for you know, every night we got this great programming, and it opens our hearts, our minds, our soul. Couldn't ask for more. Although we could ask for 14 more years with you. I sure hope that happens.
Let's hope it does. And, of course, 14 more years of you talking about why you love the Ouija board.
Oh, I'd be loving to do that. You know I would.
All right. Thanks, Karen. You have a great new year. And, of course, another one of our dear friends and guests, pharmacist Ben from criticalhealthnews.com. Hey, Ben.
Hey, George. Congratulations, man. 14 years, and I second it. Another 14 years will be awesome. I've been a fan, as you know, since the beginning, and I can't tell you how much more educated and informed I am for the work.
Thank you for everything that you do, and Doc Wallach and Joanne Conaway and the whole team that really delivers great health information to so many people, Ben.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
That's Ben Fuchs, Pharmacist Ben. You hear him a lot on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, up next, Anthony Carr joins us, the psychic. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. And again, thank you for joining us on our 14-year anniversary night. The world's most documented psychic, Anthony Carr, modern-day Nostradamus, predicted 9/11, Operation Desert Storm, the death of Pope John Paul, the killer tsunami, the discovery of the Titanic, and so many other things. His father, by the way, taught Harry Houdini, the escape artist, how to dive in deep water. And here's Anthony back on Coast to Coast. With or without the trumpet, Anthony, what do you have?
Funny you should mention the word trump. Anyway, you failed to mention my incredibly accurate hit that Hillary Clinton would be the first woman president.
Well, I was going to bring that up.
Well, you know what? Let's get rid of the elephant in the room. Namely, I and several other of your very competent psychics and astrologers, notably John Hoag, we all said, no, Hillary Clinton's going to win, that's it. And then there's a pause. But, you know, he's a wild card, you know. There's still that. We were all hedging our bets. And I had this, you know, the last 6 months or so, I had this nagging feeling right in the pit of my stomach, you know, the solar plexus, the gut feeling, you know. Some little thing kept saying, you know what, this guy, he could win. Then I got a call from A&E's History Channel in New York, and I think John Hoag was also on there,
right.
But I declined to appear.
How come?
For a couple of reasons. Sure, they offered to pay and fly me there and sleep me there, but you wouldn't give me any pocket money to walk around and shop in New York.
that would cost more than the expenses to get you there.
Absolutely. Plus, coming from Toronto, of course, is going through the customs.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And all that kind of thing. So, but you know what? I'm just as glad that I didn't, because I probably would have said the same thing. Oh, she's going to win, you know, but... And the other thing is, people kept saying, because my personal friends, I said, you know what, I got a funny feeling. This guy, he's all over the place. I know he could win. They said, well, why don't you change your mind? I said, I can't, because 10 years ago in my book, which I have to put out every year, Stargazers, Predictions and Prophecies, and, of course, the one or two words that got me off the hook actually is this one here. The world is stunned by an unexpected candidate for the presidency of the United States, which of course Trump was, who will make former British Prime Minister Iron Lady Margaret Thatcher look like a panty waist. Now, this is back in, 2017? It was like 10 years ago, 2007 or 2006.
That's a long-time prediction.
But I believe Hillary Clinton to be the next, in brackets, possibly de facto U.S. president. Now, there's the hook.
And you saw that 10 years ago?
Sorry?
You saw that 10 years ago?
Well, 10 years ago, and I put it in print. So how can I, everybody's telling me to back off, and of course, if you've looked at the books I've sent you and Lisa Lyon over the last 3 or 4 years, that was always in there continually.
Anthony, let me ask you this, though. When you get these predictions, how do they come to you? I mean, some people get into a trance.
Well, it's just an overwhelming, as I've described to Lisa, like an oceanic feeling, which I've been seeing around her lately, something very big in the oceans and cruise ships or some big thing you guys might be doing in the water, something like, apparently you've done that before, but I didn't know that. But I see that I feel a whole lot more of that stuff coming up for Coast to Coast with George Noring. And what I had originally about her was, you know, just this lady is going to rise very high in politics. She's going to possibly be coming. Now, I could have just said, I shouldn't have put such a fine point on it and said she will be the first female president, but I did. But she did come up and she, you know, climbed higher and higher and higher. But you know something? Don't get me wrong, I don't have any great love for Hillary Clinton or anybody specifically.
Right. And everybody should know, you're a Canadian, right? You're a Canadian.
I don't believe in flip-flopping. I'm not going to suddenly cross the floor to the other party, no matter what. I have to stick by what I said and what I predicted, you know, and that's what I did. Of course, again, she did win the popular vote. Now, Al Capone, he was the de facto mayor of Chicago, you know. He wielded all the power, and the mayor, whose name I can't even remember, was just his puppet. But anyway, that's where that is, and it's the first time, you know, that I'm not the greatest fan of Trump anyway. I don't care much for spoiled rich kids.
Well, at least you're honest based on your views.
I respect, there's a former friend I was going to say, a lady in Las Vegas who's he's the musical director for the Coasters. Do you remember the Coasters?
Oh, great group. Absolutely.
You know, five times removed. Her name's Brenda Bouchard. She's married to the orchestra leader of Rich Little.
By the way, it was Big Bill Thompson was the mayor of Chicago.
That's right. Big Bill Thompson, yeah. Right? That's right. Anyway, and when I sent, when Trump was, President-elect Trump was elected, you know, and I sent out that press release, I said, congratulations, America, you've just managed to put Bozo in the White House.
Jesus, don't hold back, Anthony.
Well, you want to see the emails. I must have received 50,000 emails.
I bet. Of
course, you know, it's agreeing with the other half, including this lady.
Hate you.
She tore a piece off me like you wouldn't believe.
be careful, you're on radio now.
Well, I would not read this lady, I always thought the butter wouldn't melt in her mouth.
But I agree with you that Hillary, of course, obviously got the popular vote, as I predicted,
right,
during election night when everybody said, oh, my God, look, this is going to be a landslide. I said, wait a minute, something very weird is happening here, and she's going to win by the popular vote much higher than what anybody else has.
Well,
and she
I'm
did.
Glad that I put in here the de facto president.
two million, but okay,
and
so let's...
The main reason I really hate Trump is because he proved me wrong in front of all of America here. For that.
Well, you got to temper that, though. As John Hoag, as I told Hoag, who said, oh, my God, I finally lost an election, I said, John, you haven't lost it yet. Because the popular vote might be the way that this goes. That's the way psychics react. You guys don't psychically understand the Electoral College.
Oh, not at all.
But you pick it up on the popular people.
You know, if people ask me for empirical data, I don't know. I just, not only am I psychic, because I'm Italian, so, you know, I just go by instinct.
All right, next thing. You
so
say...
Here's the other... Well, first, let me congratulate you on the 14-year anniversary.
Thank you.
Of course, numerologically, 4-1 is 5, and that'll be a very up-and-down year for this year for you, ups and downs.
Oh, great. That's just what I
mean. Around and new opportunities and, you know, things coming your way you didn't expect. Happy anniversary to you, George, and thank you for allowing us this platform to vent our spleen.
Absolutely. Now,
and we'll see what happens with Trump's plutocracy. But Trump has to remember one thing. You know, he's an old man like I am. He could drop dead anytime as well.
Well, let's not talk about that.
Now, here's an interesting aside you might be interested in, and your listeners. You know, according to Jacqueline Stallone, he constantly phones Sylvester, because apparently they're good friends, and on election night in the couple of days leading up to it, are you sure your mother said I'm going to win this? Are you sure? Are you? And she did this chart, and you know, and to her credit,
she's good.
She's a very good astrologer, yeah. Let me tell you.
She's good. Okay, you say that if the next pope is named Peter, we're all in trouble. How come?
Well, you know, according to St. Malachy, who named all of the popes from his time, which is about 10th or 11th century, through sort of encoded quatrains like Nostradamus. And, for instance, one of the popes I had predicted would die shortly, be murdered in office, which is Pope John Paul I. And he referred to him as the Pope of the Sliver Moon, Well, nobody knew what that meant, Sliver Moon. Well, of course, 34 days later, he was found dead in his bed after drinking a cup of...
Yes, under cocoa. Very strange circumstances.
He never saw the full moon of his papacy, so that's what that meant. If the next pope, this one or the other, should be named Peter, then we're all in big trouble. So what I should... by the way, I meant to ask you again. Another side. Do you have a CD out, George, of your singing or anything?
No, we have a what we call the Holiday Magic Coast Style CD out, Anthony, which benefits veterans. Proceeds go to the veterans, but it was a holiday song that I sang on and some other guests, and we should have had you on with your trumpet, for crying out loud.
Saxophone. But can we order it?
It's on Amazon if you want. And again, the proceeds go to veterans.
Well, that's great. I come of an Army family, including my mother, who was in the middle of the London Blitz as an ambulance driving nurse, you know, loading the dead and dying and all that stuff. And grandfather was at Vimy Ridge, and I was in the 48 Highlanders, you know. So I will definitely order that, and I'll get my techie guy, you know, Justin.
They'll find it. Just say Holiday Magic Coast Style CD, and you'll find
Holiday
it.
Holiday Magic?
Yep, on Amazon. You predict, you predict
anyway,
some volcanoes.
Clinton, here's what I said about Hillary still.
Well, let's get off. Let's get off Hillary. I don't want to talk about
her. Well, you don't want to talk about
it? No, too many politics tonight.
Well, this is...
Get into the good, juicy stuff.
She'll conquer even greater political pinnacles than merely... the office of the presidency. For some reason, her legacy will. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not greatly in love with actually any woman politician. But I really have a strong feeling that she's not down yet, and there's more. And her legacy will be something other than running for the office of the president.
All right. Well, you're one of the first to say that. So
you want to. Should I run down some of these that I sent to you?
Let's go through. Yeah, let me throw some questions your way. You talk about volcanoes, big ones. What's going on there?
The Earth's atmosphere, as you know, is changing. The polar caps are melting. Some of these oil companies have drilled down below the ice caps in search of oil and other precious minerals. And they've come up with tropical vegetation, petrified, that is over 40 million years old. So it makes you wonder, you know, what happened? There must have been a polar flip. The Earth has flipped its lid, as it were, a couple of times since its inception. So I, you know, all of this stuff about the... nuclear waste, oil spew, fuel, fossil fuels, polluting the atmosphere. I believe it has absolutely very, very insignificant effect on what's happening to the planet. I think we're just getting ready for another major upset, as in the great biblical flood, the ice age. It'll have very, very little to do you know, getting rid of emissions and don't drive your car to work. Well, yeah, maybe locally and but in the eye of the universe, it's time for a cleaning out, and I think this is what happens to these planets, including us, every 15 or 20,000 years.
Well, two simultaneous volcanoes.
Well,
could
that'll
be
because the crusts and the center of the Earth, the molten lava and all that, will, like one of those gyroscopes, push itself too much to one side.
Well, they're all connected, I think.
Yep. And when you see that, I do believe that that will usher in the beginning of a whole new era. Now, don't forget, when you talk about fulfilled predictions, one of them, several years ago, in those same books, my book of prophecy and predictions I've sent you over these few years, said I saw millions and millions of Americans moving north because of the climate.
And north means you meant into Canada.
Into Canada, and specifically the Northwest Territories, which I believe will become more temperate. And, of course, I hadn't counted on the great panic that Trump would cause, because our government, what's the word I'm looking for? Our government computers are blowing a gasket with people, Americans, requesting what it takes to immigrate to Canada. So that's how much fear that Donald Trump has instilled in the hearts of at least half of the Americans, to the point where they can't accommodate all of the requests and all of the inquiries.
Right. You promised me no more politics.
I didn't, did I?
Yeah,
I mean,
did.
Is that political? I thought, okay, back to the Earth's crust and core.
That's right. I mean, you obviously don't like Donald. We know that. So.
No, well, you know what? I got to say, even through all that, I still begrudgingly have to agree with some of the things he says. But nobody mentioned this quatrain from. I'm surprised that
John
Oakland or a couple of the others. Of course, he seems to be your most prominent man. And this here I found in a book by Peter Lorre. It's Nostradamus, 2003 to 2025. Peter Lorre, I was saying, you're doing your rant. Anyway, he says, quote, one day the great powers will become friends. So you have Putin and you have
Russia and the United States, and that could happen.
Well, you know what? Let me finish this. One day the great powers will become friends, and their power will increase. America will be at the height of its power. To the man of blood, take that any way you want, the color of his hair or his pretty, he's a type A personality. To the man of blood, the opportunity will be given. The man, beware the man with the orange helmet. Orange helmet? Now, he goes on, but the two will not remain united for long. And in 13 years, they will surrender to the Middle East. There will be much loss on both sides, and Pope Peter will be needed.
13 years from now.
Yeah, and it says quatrain C5V78 with a little 2 to the second power.
That's a Nostradamus?
Yeah, wow. Nostradamus from this book by Peter Lorre. So here's my prediction. Well, I'll just read them on. I predict President-elect Donald Trump is going to march us down the path to hell and straight into World War III. Mother Russia's mandate is always
Anthony, you just promised me no more Trump.
Why not? We're done.
All right, no more. No more.
Russia.
No more. Now, you've talked about a horrible mid-air collision.
Yes. I was sitting pondering my navel, and I came up with this, like a sudden crash or two crashes. Again, over the top of New York City, and as you know, I probably was the closest to predicting 9/11 way back when. And I've got, unfortunately, the same feeling. I don't know how it seems to come from within the city of New York itself. There's something going on. There's spies. There's traitors, and I would admonish.
Hold on, Anthony. We're at the break. We'll come right back with more because I want to talk about that, about the mid-air collision. It's a horrible story, but I want to get it on the record. We'll be back. our 14-year anniversary tonight and a number of participants and people who have made Coast to Coast what it is today, including, of course, our fill-in host, Connie Willis, who features her Where's Willis program all the time as well. Hey, Connie, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year and happy 14th. You know, George, I don't think people really realize that aren't in broadcasting what it means to be in the same place for 14 years, especially radio. That's rare.
It is rare, but I got to tell you, it has been one heck of a ride, Connie. And you know what? I've got, like, as Anthony Carr will talk about, the Benjamin Button syndrome. I feel like I'm getting younger and younger as the years go by.
I love Benjamin Button. What a great movie that was or is. And, well, you know what? You're looking better every time. I know I commented recently on your last pictures are very sharp looking. They're very nice. And hey, you know what? You're just getting hipper. What can we say?
You got to do it. And you're enjoying the program yourself when you fill in?
Oh my gosh, I love it. Come on. Who doesn't want to be on Coast to Coast? It's king. And, you know, if you were going to ask me where's Willis, I was going to say in the middle of a queen size bed right now.
Sleep. Well, I got to tell you, and I had mentioned this Friday night, that after I was on your fill-in show in Louisville, Kentucky on WHAS, you had mentioned a fellow by the name of David Whitman, who you said was a mentor of yours. And
a mentor, yes.
David and I went to the University of Detroit together. I'm 19. He's 20. He's working at a television station. He's from Cleveland, and he wants to go home for Christmas. And they won't let him unless he finds somebody to fill in for him. And so he comes to me because we were all friends in school, and he said, George, would you do me a favor? You know, I work at WXYZ-TV, and I need you to fill in for me for 2 weeks, or they won't let me go home for Christmas. Would you do it? And he said, it pays $2 an hour. And I went, David, done. I'll do it. And so I did for 2 weeks. And then when he came back, they said, David, the guy you recommended, we like him so much, we're keeping you both. And that was the beginning of my broadcast career, and he was responsible for that. What a small world.
It is a small world. And you know what? You got to know this. I was like 15 looking up to him, watching him on news, and just fell in love with his style and his technique and his personality. And hey, I was president of his fan club, and I'm serious. We had a real fan club for him, and I've known him ever since.
All right. Thanks, Connie. And thanks what you do for us.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And Tom tells me we have a surprise guest here for the anniversary party. Hello there.
Mr. George, I'm calling from the bursar's office of the University of Detroit, Mercy. And there seems to be a balance here of about $43. And we are wondering if you would be so kind as to remit a check.
You mean after
a money order?
After 40 years,
MasterCard, Visa. We'll even take a Crowley's charge card.
We will do that. Now, the name, who is this?
Well, this is a friend of yours that actually gave you gainful employment a long time ago at 40 cents above minimum wage. In 1969, the minimum wage was $1.60. And if you made $2 an hour at WXYZ, you were highly
overpaid. David, is this you?
Yes, it is.
God. I was just talking about you.
Pardon me? Yeah, that's what I hear.
Isn't it a small world?
Have ears.
It is a dink. David Whitman is the person I was just talking about, folks, who helped me. And was I accurate with that story? You needed me to fill in for you?
So. I don't remember getting 2 weeks off for Christmas, but, I mean, and 2 weeks in Cleveland?
In Cleveland, that's right.
Of course, if I was coming out of Detroit, it probably wasn't so bad. You know, and it was mom and dad and my brothers, so it was all good.
It was Those a small days, world. Huh? What are you doing now?
I am, I don't want to say retired, let me just say at leisure. I'm in Orlando, in Winter Park, a little town just outside of Orlando, where we lived before when I was here. And oddly enough, I was here for 10 years, went home, and the magic 14 years in Cleveland, which is where I wrap things up. So right now, the station went a different direction. I bet you've never heard that.
Oh, yeah.
And so did I.
And whatever happened to our old buddy Don Lark?
You know, Don was an anchor for years in, Hartford. And then I believe, in fact, he and I ended up working for the same guy, Bill Applegate, who's a giant in the industry. He is retired.
Was this the Bill Applegate who was at WJBK at the time?
Yes.
He was a reporter.
Reporter, you betcha. Yeah. He, and you talk about a small world, He married my high school sweetheart.
Jeez.
And later on in my career, apparently that worked out quite well. And he and Kathy were in Cleveland, and I was in Orlando, as I am now, looking for work, kind of a, you know, a, how things come around. And he basically, in his gruff voice, said, "Whitman, you want the job or what?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And so I spent 14 years there. That seems to be the magic tonight is 14.
I love it.
14 years.
Hey, David, Connie has given me your phone number, so I'm going to I'll be in touch with you.
Well, listen, thank you so much for including me. You've done wonderful work. I just don't know how you do it. I mean, how much coffee does a man like you consume on an average night?
And you know what? I don't drink coffee.
Good Lord. How do you do it?
I have no idea, but I'm not going to stop, David.
Well, how do you know which, if you're east or west of the Rockies at this hour?
Does it matter?
No, not with the digital world we have.
You got it. David, you take care. Really, thank you. Thank you for
participating. Take care and all the best, George.
All right. I love it. Yeah, I mean, there's the guy who helped get me my very first job when I was 19 years old in broadcasting. Truly remarkable. Okay, we're going to come back in a moment with your questions with Anthony Carr next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Anthony Carr, the psychic. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. One of his best-selling books is called Stargazer, by the way. Anthony, let's get back to this tragedy over New York, where you see this midair collision between two commercial planes and 600 lives lost. I mean, God, I hope you're wrong on this one. But
600 and change, to be specific.
Jeez.
I would admonish the authorities, New York, to investigate small airports. That seems to stick in my mind's eye. Small airports. And
is it an intentional collision or accidental?
No, it's intentional. It's some subterfuge going on around a couple of the small airports in New York. Helicopters and up and down, and some of these guys taking flying lessons or something like that. That's about the best I can do. I got the month November again. Of course, one of the fulfilled predictions of this last year, or, you know, I always cover myself by 2017 and beyond, you know, because the parameters of 12 months are not recognized by the universe.
Well, and dates are very difficult
in
the psychic world.
As I said here, last year in May, then October and November, this world shall tremble in fear. Brackets, first prophesied Stargazer predictions and prophecies for 2015. Then, to wit, quote, this in the New York Times, Donald Trump is elected president November 4th. New York, if that doesn't make you tremble in fear, nothing will, unquote.
Yeah, there you did it again.
I'm reading your newspaper. I'm not coming from
you. You did it again.
How come Mr. Polk can go on and
name
about politics,
no,
and I can't?
Because you had your share already. That's
okay,
why.
Okay, all right. So anyway, seriously, more investigation, not to take it lightly, offhandedly. It's almost like Does Long Island have an airport itself? A small one?
I'm sure it does. I have flown into LaGuardia and JFK. I'm sure it's got a little airport. I'm not sure.
Whatever it is, it seems to emanate from a small airport. One there, it's like a triangulation. One there, and one and two other to form a triangle around New York. This is. Needs to be in the, you know, how many of our detractors, people like I'm losing my mind here.
You seem to
like,
be
Randy, you know, James Randy.
The
how many?
Randy.
Well, if these people are so psych, why don't they want? Well, you know, 9/11. I phoned the papers. I phoned the authorities. I gave them the ballpark time. So, you know,
how far in advance did you do that?
Oh well, that was September. That would have been December 31st, In the Toronto Star, they took down all of my predictions. Actually had me posed in the beach with my arms looking heavenward, which is kind of corny. But so they had plenty of time, and that newspaper is syndicated around the world. And, you know, and I phoned a few of the papers and people I know, and our mutual late friend there, Michael Luckman, who also tried to get in touch with the authorities there, but nobody listens.
Were you questioned after the fact?
Oh, yes. And,
I would think so.
Again, the Toronto Star wrote a story in support of my predictions. And they said, well, I don't want to get into it again, but they also did a thing on one day the village idiot being elected to the presidential office. Now say no more, but that's right under the one they wrote about the 9/11 and how accurate my prediction was at that time. And to tell you the truth, I really don't believe half the things I say myself.
What do you mean you don't believe?
Well, I mean, I don't know, and I try to explain this to my students. The things that will, they always ask, how does one become psychic? The best way to explain it, again, is that gut feeling that it's something, as I was telling you, as the election drew nearer, that little knot in my solar plexus, that voice, that gut told me that no matter what I'm spouting, the opposite is going to happen. You should always, always go with your instincts. But as a human being, you know, I'm not that well formally educated, and I'm not that knowledgeable about...
Ah, but you play a mean saxophone.
Well, speaking of which, I do have a website there for the new band called theboydgang.ca.
Spell that.
Well, Alonzo Boyd was a notorious bank robber around here in the 50s. He used to hang around my godfather's place.
And, you named your band after him?
Well, yeah, because he was like, he looked like Earl Flynn. He was, you know, a rogue, handsome.
Dashing.
Anyway, it's B-O-Y-D, Edwin Alonzo Boyd. Movies have been made about him. He used to come. Trouble is, he got arrested all the time and did a lot of time, and including with my uncle. So my mother once said to him, you know, you should find another line of work. You're not very successful at this.
All right, let's go to the calls. First-time caller, Howard in Ohio. Go ahead, Howard.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Never called, but... gentleman's man we're talking
Anthony,
to right now.
Anthony Carr.
Or Tony. Just call me Tony Carr or Anthony.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Tony Carr. Cool.
Don't call me Lisa.
I have a question for you. This is my first time calling, but I listen every single night for how many years. I don't have enough time to even think about that. But thank you, George. But anyhow, now, it seems to me like I really like listening to you, but you're too hung up on George Trump. I think it might be inhibiting some of your predictions because of that fact. And I think George is right, but also I'm not here to hack on you. I respect you in all bits, but it honestly does, and I don't think you see it. But also, I don't see where how you're putting I'm not a Hillary fan, and I'm not a Donald Trump fan, but I'm sure I'd rather have him there than her. But whatever. Move on to your prediction of 13 years. Now, I don't understand.
Well, no, that was Nostradamus' prediction.
Well, I'm also in the midst of reading a book that has a lot of Nostradamus predictions in it.
Right.
And I did not see the 13 years of him saying that in the book that they quote some of his stuff from Iraq's Armageddon and a few other novels that I'm writing about what you're talking about. Now, I've read also books that says the like the United States and Russia come together and dominate the Middle East and whatever that means and what countries I don't know, but and then there's 13 years of peace. So I'm just curious. I'm sure you have other outlooks of what you said about that.
Well, let me ask you this, basically, Anthony. You've read the Book of Revelation.
Pretty much.
What do you think of that? Based on something that's prophetic?
Well, I think it will probably come to pass more or less pretty accurately. Is it depend? You know, of course, you know, I believe I'm not one of those not one of those people who believe in that kind of a God. You know, Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa God is coming to town, and he's making a list, checking it. Mm-hmm. I don't believe, but I do believe, as you know, that we were created by a race of star travelers. And they can pretty well see into the hearts of each person in the same way that the computers from Washington can look right into a Adobe hut somewhere in the Mideast and, yeah, and aim a bomb right to it. And they can eventually, if there's a resurrection of the dead, to be reborn again is through the cloning of the DNA, which I think gave rise to that hymn there, you know, the leg bones connected to the hip bone, the hip, all that kind of stuff. So I think everything that Revelation says, and if we go back to one of my predictions years and years ago about Revelation, is the mark of the beast. And when I ran into Gorbachev, I pointedly, well, literally pointed at his head and said, which he had covered
he's
up.
He's got that birthmark, right?
And I said, you do realize that you do possess the mark of the beast mentioned in Revelation.
No, you said that to him?
Well, yeah.
Of course, knowing you, you would.
Then I got hauled off by the mounted police and all the security and everything. Well, you talk about kismet or fate. I work out and I work for to raise money for Variety, the children's charity.
Yes.
You might be familiar.
I know that.
And I've been a member of this tent here, as we call it, in Toronto for 35 years. And the day Gorbachev came to Toronto, came specifically to Variety Village, and I thought to I said to myself, you know what, I'm getting old and I can't be bothered pushing myself onto world celebrities like I've been doing for the last 40 years. I think I'll just wait till he's finished. Now, he was supposed to be his entourage, and he was supposed to be there. They were supposed to be there at noon for a luncheon and a walkabout in the main room, the big, not an outhouse, but the outfield, the field house where all the track is and everything. So I purposely lagged behind, stayed away, and I got there around 2 o'clock. As I'm pulling into the place, the high school, Birchmont High School, I think, it was right beside the Variety Village. All the kids were out cheering, and they're like, well, I knew it wasn't for me. And as I'm pulling into the lot with the security, they all knew me there, so they let me through. And plus, you know, I have a press card because I do the syndicated stargazing column for the Toronto Sun. And they opened up, they let me, and I looked behind me, and here was Gorbachev's entourage. He was late. So I went into the gym and having a workout, and then I saw this. And I walked by and I saw the opening, the media scrum in the form of a horseshoe were on my side and like a mandible, and the other side, Gorbachev and his crew. And all of a sudden, the mayor was was greeting Gorbachev and handing him something and, you know, obsequiously bowing and scraping. And I saw it looked like the Red Sea parting and open and without thinking. And if you think about these things, you'll never do them, which I
did. So that's what you did. Anthony, we're out of time. Thank you for your predictions. We got them written down. We'll see what happens. More to come on Coast to Coast AM.